Hello, everyone. My name is Leah Yu. You're listening to Press Reset with Leah Yu podcast. And this is a very first episode, official first episode. And it's going to be super personal because I'm talking about how I want to press reset on myself as a skincare content creator, a YouTuber, and a quote unquote influencer. So today I'll be sharing how I started as a content creator, how I grew my YouTube channel to over a million subscribers, and how I've been feeling about this entire social media landscape, from trends, algorithm shifts to influencers, and ultimately the reason why I think I should be pressing reset on my identity as a skincare content creator and this chapter in my life. I've never openly shared this with anyone, including myself, and it was a very, very, very long journey for me to, I guess, vocalize this and admit this as a problem and feeling the need that, yeah, I need to press reset and do something about it, need to move on. These are some brutally honest reflections. I'm not sure what the impact would be. At the moment, I don't know what my future holds, so this is just me being super raw and super honest about where I am right now. And I'm going to take you on my press reset journey as a content creator. Starting off, let's rewind the clock all the way to 2011 when I first uploaded my very, very, very first video on YouTube. It's been more than 10 years, yes. And I think if you are similar to my age, you probably grew up watching YouTube and you probably learned all the beauty makeup hacks and tricks on that platforms from the OG creators like Michelle Phan, Bethany Moda. I can't think of other like OG creators at the moment, but those were my go-to when it comes to just absorbing information. And it was just fascinating. The platform itself was so genuine and just, I don't know, I just feel so nostalgic just looking back to the early days of YouTube. As an introvert, you know, having a passion for beauty or hobby of sharing beauty products with my friends, I couldn't do that with my friends for some odd reason in real life. Instead, I went to YouTube to share that with many anonymous people on the internet. And it was my senior year in college and I was technically kind of bored. So I had more time to play around with the platform and I uploaded my very first video in 2011. Now, never did I know that this can become a career or you can actually monetize your content, or you can take sponsorships and branded deals to live off that kind of income. Even though I uploaded my very first video back in 2011, my channel didn't really take off until many, many, many years later, which was probably around 2016. Obviously, I'm not an overnight success. Therefore, I had to choose or look for a job as I graduated college. So I applied for Amore Pacific, which is one of the biggest beauty conglomerate companies based in Korea. And I thought the entire beauty industry was just so fascinating. So even though I graduated having a design degree or architectural design degree to be specific, at the time in maybe 2013, it was just so amazing and fascinating to see Korean skincare and Korean beauty products and brands just influencing a bigger market outside Korea. And it was a time where a lot of K-pop groups and K-dramas was getting international recognition and fan base outside Korea as well. So I wanted to be a part of this K-beauty wave. And at the time, Amore Pacific was really leading that trend. I was really happy with the job that I got in Amore Pacific. I was working as an e-commerce associate, really overseeing the entire operations behind the scenes. And I learned my chops as a corporate employee. And I actually really enjoyed, you know, the entire experience. I loved having colleagues and I loved the free meals that were provided in the food court. I just also loved a lot of things about the beauty industry and the people in the beauty industry as well. But of course, like there's like hierarchy, bureaucracy, and the drinking culture in Korea that I really hated so much. Overall, I really did enjoy my job and I was really content until a lot more people in the company found out about my YouTube channel. So remember I told you that I was hired as an e-com associate or e-com operations person. It was very far from just being like a content creator. So a content creator was my hobby, was my sacred thing or an outlet that I kept for my weekends. But in Amore Pacific, there are more than maybe like 20, 30 brands. I don't know how many now, but imagine all those brand marketing team members finding out about you in the company and then just casually coming to you, just like gifting so many products and, you know, kind of hinting or implying I should be using these products to promote it on my YouTube channel that doesn't really have anything to do with Amore Pacific as a company. Things were getting a little bit out of control at the time, and I just was very overwhelmed with all these kind of new distractions. And technically, based on my employment contract, I couldn't have another job. Therefore, I couldn't have another income stream. I was earning like AdSense money at the time, which was probably around $200 a month, which barely covered the public transportation fee. A lot of people think that I left my cushy, stable corporate job because I was earning so much on my content creator side of the things on YouTube. But this was also pre-influencer marketing era, so the future wasn't really bright and I just really wasn't earning anything. I think as time went by, people in the company just viewed me, or they labeled me as a beauty content creator more than the e-com associate job that I was hired to do. I think at one point I was thinking, okay, like maybe this is something, like there is something here. And it was also like a now or never moment for me. I was getting stressed at work with all these side requests, and I thought maybe I'll do YouTube full time for 2 years, and who knows, maybe it will blow up, maybe it will take off and I'll be like a successful Michelle Phan like beauty creator. But if it doesn't work out, that's also fine. And I was still young, I'm not, and I felt like I had nothing to lose. And if I do fail as a YouTuber, I can always come back to being a corporate employee. And I was also fine with that idea. In late 2015, I decided to quit my full-time corporate job and I pivoted my career to a full-time content creator. I no longer had to report to anyone. I had no manager. I was a self-employed content creator or a YouTuber. From this moment, I grinded so hard. I had literally no solid income for a full year that I had to live off my savings, my severance pay, and I was also living with my parents. In 2015 to 2016, I believe my channel was still at 130,000 people subscriber base, and the growth was so stagnant. It wasn't really growing for some reason. I was just putting in so many hours. I was pumping out 3 videos a week, but my channel wasn't growing and my views weren't increasing, and I just didn't know why. So I spent a whole year feeling like maybe this was a bad decision. Maybe I'm a failure. I let my parents down. And it was also painful for me to see my friends who have stable corporate jobs. You know what was more painful? It was hanging out with other content creators whose channels are growing more rapidly than mine. And that was not a pleasant experience. But I think the most painful part was definitely that I felt like I was disappointing myself. And I started to lose confidence in my own self, in my own worth. And I started regretting my decision for leaving my very stable corporate job for this. That led me to going into this rabbit hole or this vicious cycle of injecting limiting beliefs of I'm not good enough, people don't like my content, or maybe I'm not attractive, or maybe I'm not, you know, funny enough or entertaining enough, maybe people don't like me as a person. So it's like a recipe for disaster. I hit rock bottom. I hit that depressive state, avoided talking to people. I didn't want to face my parents because I felt like I let them down. I was a failure. My sleeping schedule was like, I would go to bed at 6 a.m. in the morning. I would wake up in the afternoon just so that I don't need to interact with my parents. I also gained so much weight at the time. I think I gained over 20 pounds in weight. And that's when I stopped looking at myself in the mirror. And I didn't recognize who I was becoming, nor I was interested in knowing who she is. I'm going to save all of this for another episode down the road. I wasn't in the best place. And it's all because my channel wasn't growing as I expected it to. So after living like that for a year, it was time for me to press reset. And I just literally changed my entire morning routine my day-to-day routine, started working out, and just trying to become like a better and best and the best version of myself. And with my YouTube career, what really helped my channel growth was really shifting how I approach content creation. So I stopped creating what I want to create, and I started thinking about what value I can add to who's watching my videos. Because time is currency on these platforms. People are exchanging their very, very precious time to consume your content. So you have to make sure that you're providing the most valuable content, the valuable information, something to take away for the amount of time that they spend on watching your content. I think this realization itself really did change my trajectory of my YouTube history. But of course, like, there are lucky people, unicorns out there whose existence itself is just really aspirational, or they have that TV personality that people just would watch whatever you put out there as an entertainment form. And some people are really just naturally a good storyteller, which makes their content so magnetic and so compelling. But I'm also aware that I'm not in that category. I review products, I share beauty and skincare tips. The audience wants information. They want to learn how to take better care of their skin. In the business world, there's something called hitting the product market fit. It's when you have successfully identified your target customer and are serving them with the right product. And on YouTube, that means you know who your audience is, you know what they're looking for, and you're also providing the right type of content to satisfy their needs and expectations. That's when I truly went down the rabbit hole of obsessing over skincare, especially acne skincare, because it was something that I was also going through with my personal skincare journey. I spent hours and hours dissecting medical and scientific journals that are just written about skin. With all this scientific information I studied and researched, my job as a YouTuber was to make it as digestible as possible by using visual references, skits, and more relatable metaphors for people to just easily understand. And I think this was that turning point in my YouTube career where it started to explode in growth. And I was getting countless emails and messages saying that my skin has improved so much thanks to your videos. And, you know, I also have seen so many benefits to improve my skin after learning so much about the science behind how beautiful and wonderful your skin is as a natural organ. It gave me so much high that I kept going and going. And I spent a lot of sleepless nights into researching, creating more content, And I hit over 1 million subscribers in probably 2 years or 3 years of doing that. So 2017 to 2018 was probably my prime time, my peak as a skincare content creator, where my growth was very explosive. I was producing content over content that would just really hit the nail on what people actually wanted and needed in terms of improving their skin's health. And I was really proud of everything I created during that time period. I mean, I always go back to one of those videos and just feel how proud I am. And I know that I'm proud because I worked really, really hard. I love that my channel grew so much in the way that I was so happy about with all the milestones that I was achieving. But obviously, the bigger the channel is, or the bigger your platform is, the bigger influence you have, the bigger responsibility that it comes with. And during that time, I also launched my own skincare brand called Crave Beauty. And with that launch, it also added another layer of pressure, since I started getting a lot of just not so pleasant comments saying that, oh, I'm reviewing products negatively because I want to clear out my competition to Crave Beauty in the market. And this was also the very reason why I was also featured on an account called Estee Laundry. Like, the majority of my comments and majority of my listeners here are very encouraging. I think it's always that 1% of the negative voice that sounds so much louder. It almost feels like it's just piercing to your heart and piercing to your brain. I was always known for this YouTuber who would give honest, unapologetic reviews. Even though I would take sponsorships, I would always talk about my very, very candid and honest thoughts about it. This was something that I was known for, but suddenly it was becoming an unprofessional behavior just because I have a brand. I started censoring a lot of what I have to say, what I shouldn't say. I started overthinking a lot when it comes to prepping my content, you know, and I slowly started taking less brand deals, which was fine. Overall, I was just in my head a lot. You know, I was almost kind of answering all of the possible questions of what people might assume when I speak XYZ. So my content was really watered down. It went very, very vanilla, trying to please everyone, but really, it wasn't pleasing anyone. It wasn't even pleasing myself. So I definitely started posting less and less, also because I was really, really busy with Crave Beauty, but also because I felt like it was a safer option to just run the company and kind of be more real and be true to who I am to the people who I interact on a day-to-day basis. Even though I had so much to say as an industry insider, like being inside the industry, like I meet a lot of founders. I meet a lot of beauty executives, like people in finance, suppliers, manufacturers, and holy shit, like there's so much to say about this world from the inside out, but I also didn't want to be the whistleblower. So I just pigeonholed myself into the busyness of the operation side of Crave Beauty for a few years. I wouldn't necessarily say that running a company is my strongest suit compared to creating content. Creative process still gives me so much energy, but at the time, I was still kind of figuring things out. And it's still like running the company gave me something to do that's free from being judged by a massive amount of people online. And I don't know if big mega YouTubers like Michelle Phan and Emma Chamberlain, who took a break, also have felt this way, because I'm definitely not at their level of success. And I can't really imagine the responsibility, the pressure, and what they have gone through personally. But I can maybe understand why they had to take a step back and why they had to take a break and why they had to disappear from the platform for a bit. Because you're not only burned out from the exhaustion of physically overworking yourself, but I think you burn out yourself by serving and prioritizing your audience and not really serving yourself. I started posting less and less on YouTube, especially when it comes to skincare content. Another big reason why I feel like I need to press reset on myself as a skincare content creator is that I feel like there's a great misalignment in who I am now versus what I'm known for or what my persona is online. I definitely did create such a strong identity that almost, I guess, limited me. And as a person, naturally, as time goes by, you grow and you evolve, and your passion and interest is always changing. And the books that I'm reading are not, you know, related to skincare or medical journals anymore. It's more about business, capitalism, and people management. I was kind of like ranting to my fellow YouTuber here, Hiram, that I think also the skincare space is pretty saturated and is pretty covered now. I don't know how much value I can bring to this table anymore, because there are so many amazing dermatologists, scientists, and cosmetic chemists, and all these experts just willingly sharing free advice and amazing tips to people who would really appreciate these tips. So I didn't know where my place would be, quite honestly, as a skincare content creator at this point too. I'm also looking at all these young, up-and-coming skincare content creators who genuinely enjoy reviewing products, who genuinely love products in the way that I used to love products. And I think I'm kind of grown out of that stage now, where I'm more interested in talking about behind the scenes of the industry. I guess I didn't know how to break away from the identity that I created for myself, or there's always a fear that no one's going to want to watch me or be interested in what I'm creating if it's not skincare, and the views and analytics will tell. And it's like when actors have a very specific character that they play really, really well, and they get casted for that type of role every single time with different films, even though like it's not aligned with what they want to do and who they are as a person, they still take the job. I kind of feel that way in the sense. So I almost felt like I was creating content for the sake of it from almost a place of fear, because I didn't want to become irrelevant. I didn't want to fall behind the trend. So I was uploading videos, even if it's not meaningful to me anymore. I was trying to extend my shelf life as a skincare content creator as long as I can, even though I'm in a very different phase in life where my focus and passion have evolved to something else. I think I was kind of dealing with this a lot, and I didn't really have the bravery or the courage to speak this out loud or come to peace with feeling this way. But you know who helped me to come to peace? It was actually Serena Williams. No, I didn't get to meet her in person, but the other day, I was at US Open witnessing that honorable moment watching Serena Williams play her very last tennis tournament in her tennis career. And it just felt really emotional and personal. And in some weird ways, it was just so relatable. She was interviewed for a Vogue article about her retirement, and it reads as this. I'm going to read it out loud. "I've never liked the word retirement. It doesn't feel like a modern word to me. I've been thinking of this as a transition. Maybe the best word to describe what I'm up to is evolution. I'm here to tell you that I'm evolving away from tennis toward other things that are important to me. A few years ago, I quietly started Serena Ventures, a venture capital firm, and soon after that, I started a family, and I want to grow that family. But I've been reluctant to admit to myself or anyone else that I have to move on from playing tennis. I have hardly talked about it. It's like a taboo topic. I can't even have this conversation with my mom and dad. It's like, it's not real until you say it out loud. It comes up and I get an uncomfortable lump in my throat and I start to cry." As you can tell, she was also just very real and vulnerable. And that just made me tear up and made me have this uncomfortable lump in my throat too. Possibly because I can empathize with what she's feeling to a very tiniest degree. You know, I feel like I stopped learning as a skincare content creator. Therefore, I stopped growing and I stopped evolving, or I was blocking myself to evolve. And now I want to give myself permission to evolve and move on to the next chapter, whatever that may be. So that's where I am right now. I still love skincare and I still develop products. So I have a lot of things to share on the other side of the world, more insider insights with my audience. But I'll be taking some time off and I am going to be pausing and pressing reset on myself, on my identity as a skincare content creator for now. With that, I almost wanted to have a closure, which is why I actually decided to start writing a book, consolidating all the research I've done for acne skincare tips and tricks that helped clear my skin, and also hundreds and thousands of people who've been sending me testimonials. If you're a book agent or a publisher, my doors are wide open. Yeah, I know that was a lot. For now, my plan is just to focus on finding my creative voice and just creating things that fulfills me. But I just want to ensure that whatever I bring out to the world is aligned with who I am as a person at the moment. Because only then I feel like I can truly create content that's meaningful and impactful. Ultimately, like everyone else, I want my work to matter. And that's why this podcast was born, quite honestly, because I wanted a new avenue for me to start from scratch on a very fresh, clean slate. And honestly, I feel like YouTube has become a bit stale, so I think it's good to reevaluate, reassess my career as a YouTuber too. I think the entire social media landscape right now is just drastically changing. I knew that Instagram would copy TikTok's main feature, which is the short form videos, but when YouTube picked up that feature and released the shorts function, I think that sent a pretty big message to a lot of OG YouTube creators in a way that was not encouraging, but actually really discouraging. So YouTube was, I feel like, a place for storytelling, more nuanced videos, and just building a really tight and intimate community. I felt like YouTube is kind of losing that essence by becoming more like TikTok, which is basically shortening people's attention span. And I'm just worried that YouTube becomes more of a shorts platform, not a long-form video platform. It's going to take away all the nuances and all the context to every story. And that's what I'm kind of worried about, because I love vlogs, I love long-form documentaries, video essays, educational content, social commentaries, long-form videos. I'm still a huge fan of that. And I don't want YouTube to take people away from the nuances and the important conversations that you can't really tell in like 60 seconds. So we'll see how this entire field and social media landscape unfolds in a couple of months and a year or a couple of years. But that is what it is right now. And I think that wraps up my entire episode. I know this was a lot. I know this was a very rambly episode, but I'm so glad that I at least got to say things out loud that was on my chest for the longest time. On Instagram, you can find me at LeahU, TikTok at LeahU, and on YouTube, I'll be still posting my other videos that I feel very passionately about. Until then, I will see you and talk to you in my next episode of Press Reset with LeahU podcast. So have a wonderful evening, everyone, and speak to you soon. Bye.